Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A warning before we continue, this next segment, which will last through the end of today's show, may not be appropriate for all listeners. The new documentary, I Am Jane Doe, tells the stories of victims of American child sex trafficking. What happens to these children is shocking. Here's Seattle lawyer Eric Bauer describing what happened to a young person he represents.
She was right out of seventh grade, and she was trafficked for a long time and very heavily, getting raped on a daily basis by upwards of 20 adults a day, having at these seventh grade kids any way they want. And that happens, and it's real.
It's real, and it's everywhere due to the internet. And as one mother in the film says, it's due to one company in particular.
For the company that assisted by advertising my 13-year-old child for sale, they were not held responsible. Backpage.com.
Backpage.com is the second largest online classified site in the United States, second only to Craigslist. A 2017 U.S. Senate report found that Backpage.com supports the vast majority, some 80% of all sex advertising online. Much of it is legal, but as the documentary reveals, there are hundreds of thousands of young children who are trafficked on the site. And several of those young victims and their families are trying to hold Backpage.com accountable. They've sued the company, and one of those lawsuits originated here in Boston. Three young Jane Does took their case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. But earlier this month, the nation's highest court decided not to hear their case, so a lower court ruling stands. It found that Backpage.com is not liable for the content on the site, but the Jane Does are not giving up their fight. Mary Mazzio is the filmmaker behind I Am Jane Doe, and when she first heard about the lawsuits, she was shocked that child sex trafficking in America is not hidden or uncommon.
Right, and so when I first found out about it, I thought, okay, I'm going to have to, like, dive into the deep web. Well, it was just a click away on Backpage.com, and there it was in its full glory. It is unmistakable what's happening.
Well, I referenced a Senate report that just came out. It was very, very recent. It calls Backpage the largest commercial sex services advertising platform in the United States and says that Backpage officials have publicly acknowledged that criminals use the website for sex trafficking, including the trafficking of minors. So it's known.
It's known. And Backpage has been very, very smart from a business standpoint. They have created a website that is finely honed, and it's very customer friendly. Backpage has heretofore been protected by federal judges, special interest groups, the tech community, and it stems from a law that really was enacted when the internet was beginning. It's called Section 230 of the ironically named Communications Decency Act. Section 230 was intended to shield online websites that if you didn't create the content and you in good faith tried to filter it, you ought to bear no culpability. And so Backpage has taken that to a whole new level.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because, I mean, what's going on here specifically regarding the trafficking of minors?
Right.
And as you put it, I think we should put it, you know, bluntly, bought and sold. These are minors who are being bought and sold for sex trafficking.
And repeatedly raped.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. These are 13, 14, 15-year-old girls that have engaged in these lawsuits. These are children,
yeah.
And it is modern-day slavery.
I mean, it's disgusting and it's criminal. But in the documentary, you talk about how Backpage has facilitated or helped users sort of skirt the law by modifying their posts in a way?
So it's really fascinating. They created this website that at first I think they tried to legitimately filter content.
Mm-hmm.
And you see internal memos saying if you see the word young in an ad, let's report it to the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Let's report it. 2 days later, we're losing too much business. If it's young, let it through. And then over time you see this evolution. You delete the ad, right? There would be instructions to moderators only if you are very, very, very sure it is a minor. So what happened was there was an evolution over time around revenue. Let's call it what it is.
How much revenue are we talking about?
So the Senate reports that in 2015, the site was making in excess of $150 million a year. This is hidden in plain sight. And the fact that it has been able to really operate in an unfettered way has been remarkable. And the federal judiciary has protected Backpage at every step.
Sitting right next to you is the mother of one of the Jane Does in the Boston lawsuit. We're using a pseudonym, the same pseudonym that was used in the lawsuit, Mrs. Sarah Lowe. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your daughter.
My daughter is a very sweet, big heart, talented young woman, and she's just a great person,
yeah.
A great young lady.
How old was she when she was first exploited?
15.
What happened?
I dropped her off at her friend's house, and they were going to go to the mall together. And she had a time to be home, and she was to let us know when she was coming home because she was going on the T, and we would pick her up from the train station. And as hours had gone by, we were calling her. We couldn't get in touch with her. She wasn't answering her cell phone. We're texting her. I was trying to find her, calling the cell phone company, seeing if they can put a trace on her phone, doing things like the family locator on her phone, and it just had her everywhere, places that I couldn't figure out why she was in so many different places on her phone. I was looking up, like, her last phone calls, had gone online, checking her cell phone to see, like, who was the last person she called or who was the last person who called her. Two men I spoke with said that they got my daughter's phone number from Backpage. I had no idea what that was. I had gone online to see what Backpage was, and I searched up her phone number, and then that's where I saw pictures of my daughter. They were pretty much, you know, it was really inappropriate. I don't know how else to explain it, but there were pictures of her in underwear and a bra.
So this was all in less than 24 hours?
Yes. And we didn't hear from her until the next day, the next morning.
And when you did hear from her, what?
We started to get ready to go to the police station. And once we actually got outside to the car, my daughter texted us and said, "I'm in the house." So she'd been dropped off. And we didn't really know exactly what happened to her because she wouldn't talk to us or tell us what happened. So, you know, we still don't know where she was or who she was with. And we ended up bringing her to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and, you know, I can only imagine the frenzy of the hours that you were trying to figure out what happened to your daughter. And you said you had never heard of this thing called Backpage.
Mm-hmm.
But once you did, and you saw the ad, did you try to reach out to the company?
I did. I emailed them telling them to remove the pictures, that my daughter was a minor. And I had to email them several times to even get a response back from them. And they still didn't take the pictures down.
I can't even imagine what my response would be if I saw an ad like that for a child of mine.
Mm-hmm.
How did you respond to that?
Well, I was very angry. I was hurt. And I'm saying, how did this happen? Did, you know, even the question, like, did she put these pictures on here herself? Because I didn't really know what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and you just go through so many different emotions. But hurt mostly, you know, because even I know that the two people I had spoken to were grown men. I was so angry. I really was just so angry just to even think, like, how could this happen?
And you just dropped her off at the mall.
She
like
was
the
going to the mall.
Normal thing in the world.
Just going to the mall, a good kid, a good 15-year-old kid, never in trouble, never gave us a hard time, just going to the mall with a friend, you know? And in between that time until the next morning,
yeah.
you know, we still, you know, you just don't even know. It happens so fast.
It's the blink of an eye, really.
Mm-hmm. It can happen to anyone, to any family. You know, my daughter comes from a family with a father and a mother and brothers who love her. And, you know, I was taking my daughter to a friend to go to the mall.
Now, forgive me for asking this, but when you took her to the hospital, did they examined her, right? Did they tell you what they were able to tell you about anything?
We
that
didn't
happened?
Really understand or know, because she wasn't talking to us, to me or to my husband. She wasn't really talking to anyone. So I did not fully understand what happened to my daughter until months later. And I found that out through the district attorney's office because I started doing research on my own and gave everything that I found to the police. Yeah. And then they were able to find the person who put my daughter on Backpage.
So can you tell me, like, what did happen to her?
I know that she was picked up from her friend's house by two people, a man and a woman. She did ask to go home, and they wouldn't take her home.
Did she know who they were?
The only thing I know is she was introduced to them by someone else, and she, I believe, was talking to them online. Mm. They pretty much kidnapped her. They took her to a hotel where a man was waiting for her, and he raped her. And then they brought her home.
I'm so sorry. How's she doing today?
She's doing better, but it's been a rough road. You know, she suffers from depression, PTSD. She's been in and out of the hospital over time, but she's doing a lot better. Not so much to me, but she's able to talk about the issue where before she wouldn't. She was able to, you know, graduate high school. It was a rough road,
yeah.
You know, but getting her the help she needed and just really supporting her. This lawsuit really helped her a lot. It makes her feel, and the movie, you know, mm-hmm. It just makes her feel more like she's in control.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Mary, can I bring you back in here for a second?
I just want to say one thing, and that is your daughter was so lucky to have you. And that these mothers in the film, these children, as traumatized as they are the lucky ones, that they had mothers rescue, look for services, stand up and say, there needs to be accountability here. This crime happens to a huge percentage of children that are homeless, runaway, LGBTQ youth. Many of the young women in our film, we had a couple of children that were gone for 270 days. You know, 300 days over a year. That was the trauma that they experienced was incredible. The violence was horrific, and yet they all felt great blame.
And Mary, in the film, you actually speak with a former pimp. His name is Homer King, and he describes to you exactly how he used to lure girls away from their families. Here's a clip.
You used seduction. You used love. Did you...
I won't say love, but I use seduction.
What do you tell her to watch out for?
A guy that's talking about he's going to solve all your problems. Who in the world can do that?
Homer King, he was a trafficker, a pimp, a reformed pimp. He now counsels young girls on the warning signs. And he talked about how easy it was. And he looked at me and he said, you would be shocked what people would do for love. And I looked at him and he said, I have turned the daughters of doctors. He said, it is extraordinary how easy this is and how risk-free, particularly with technology. These pimps and traffickers, they're not on the street anymore.
Right.
Right. They are with the ruthless efficiency of technology. They are scheduling hour by hour. And these young women are going from hotel room to hotel room.
Scheduling hour by hour.
This is not once or twice a day. With this crime and with technology, these children are being scheduled, you know, on the hour, by the hour. So we have heard stories up to 20 times a day. We're hearing, you know, it's so gruesome.
Tell me a little bit more about, there's, in the movie you talk about this grooming or the targeting, just the way that that children are kidnapped, to use Mrs. Lowe's word, and then there are cases in which they're given drugs, and then that makes it impossible for them to leave because of an addiction that's created. I mean, just tell me more about this process.
So we've learned that there are sort of four major tactics. Chat rooms are huge. You know, kids feel that people are their friends, that they can be trusted. Kids that are going through adolescence, I mean, these are really tumultuous times, right? And they'll meet somebody, hey, can you stay out a little bit later? Are you hungry? All the way to seduction. And seduction is by far the number one. Hey, you know, you're my first love. Many of these children, it's their first romantic relationship. They're virgins by and large. And what often happens is that these children they're injected with heroin. It's called the leash. Once these children are addicted, they are so easily controllable. I mean, it's effectively game over.
Mrs. Lowe, let me just turn back to you, because mm-hmm. we started this conversation with Mary talking about Backpage's role mm-hmm. in all of this. And, I mean, that's what the lawsuit was about, too, as well. I just want to know personally what your reaction is to Backpage and, you know, other internet companies who broadly say, you know, we're looking to this extant law that says we're not responsible for the content on our website.
Sorry, I don't even know how to answer this question. For me personally, just when I emailed Backpage back and forth and telling them my daughter is a minor, take her off of your website, take these pictures down. I still cannot understand. I don't know the words exactly. I tried not to even remember them, but just the way it was worded, you can clearly see that it was for sex, you know. And they have to be held responsible. They have to be held responsible because these kids are going through, it's torture. And my daughter's, you know, forever traumatized, even if she is getting older and she's doing better. But that's always something that she's going to have to live with. And they have to be held responsible. Something has to be done. I can't believe that there are laws that are set in place where kids can be sold and raped.
Yeah. Well, we should note that the lawsuit that the Boston Jane Does brought made it, you know, through the federal court system, but the United States Supreme Court has elected not to hear the case. So, Mary, what does that mean?
So it means that the decision of the First Circuit Court of Appeals, where, by the way, Justice Souter sat in, right, former U.S. Supreme Court judge, the First Circuit said a website operator can profit, can encourage, can participate in this federal crime. But because of Section 230, because it's third-party content, sorry. You, Jane Doe, you children lose.
I mean, is that the First Circuit's way of saying this is a problem that can't be solved in the court, that it has to go back to Congress?
Precisely. And, of course, we have been speaking with members of Congress, and they said, how can federal judges be saying this is congressional intent? We never intended for this to happen. Congress has to step up and alter Section 230. And this is going to be a big fight because the tech companies have, for 20 years now, enjoyed this immunity, an expanded immunity for third-party content. And as far as I'm concerned, it's corporate welfare, right? It is a cost of doing business. If you have harm on your site and you are profiting from it and you're participating in it, it should be a business cost that you bear some amount of responsibility for that harm. We're not asking that the statute be wholeheartedly rewritten. We're just simply saying, if there's evidence of criminality, what are you going to do about it? That's the question.
Well, Mary Ma—
Can I just say one other thing?
Sure.
And that is, for Sarah, for her daughter, for the other Jane Does to have stepped out in this fashion, it is unbelievably courageous. And I don't even think you're aware of sort of how heroic it is. But for your case, it never would have gotten the attention of Congress. So even though the federal judges have been ruling against these children, your action and your voice has carried forward on behalf of so many others. And I hope you know and realize that we're indebted to you.
Thank you.
Well, Mrs. Sarah Lowe is one of the mothers of one of the Jane Does who brought a case against Backpage.com. Mrs. Lowe, let me just echo that and say thank you so much for coming in here and sharing your story on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you for doing the story.
And Mary Mazzio, former lawyer and director of the documentary I Am Jane Doe. It opens again on February 10th. We'll have more information, lots more information about it at our website, radioboston.org. Mary, thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you to Sarah.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.